Okay, today's daf is daf tet, and we're holding on the closing line of Chet Amud Beit. Omar Rabbi Elazar, getting now back to the main issue in the Mishnah, which is the fact that this date of the wedding is built on the problem that may occur if the new chosen discovers that his wife seems to have had relationships with one before him, and being as there's a long period before the wedding, such relationships might have ossered, because it would have been after Erisin. So the question is, actually, what would be the status of his claim that he discovered that she was not the betulah that she claimed? I mean, do we believe him? Is there an isser on him that comes from such a thing? Omar Rabbi Elazar, Ha'omer petach patuach matzat, a chatan who claims that he found that his new wife was not a betula. Well, he did not feel that there was anything in the way of his penetration, so that basically, he's not talking about now bleeding. Why is he not talking about bleeding? So Rashi says, it's talking about a case where he would have no ta'anat damim, because we'll see there are certain families that genetically were always found never to bleed, despite the fact that they were betulim. They had betulim, but they weren't bleeders. Or it could be that he wasn't tining dam betulim. They didn't have a particular sheet that they were checking, or it got lost, or whatever. The laundry company came, took away the sheet. So he wasn't tining anything about dummy. But the mashma'ut is that if lemaisa, there would have been a way in which we could have checked the dam, then perhaps he wouldn't be believed. And that's why there's always a bigger chiddush, as we'll see, on the belief of petach patur than there is on dam. The mashma'ut is that Rashi is only concerned for this problem because he's wondering, well, what happened to the dam? Although there are ways out of that. So the truth is, however, that's a big machlokas rishonim. The Ramban and other rishonim say that even if there is dam, and he tainis petach patuach, that he would still be able to aser her on him with petach patuach, because dam doesn't really prove anything. With petach patuach, there might be bleeding from a lot of things. It might be bleeding just from a discomfort, or a penetration that he did that she wasn't used to. Or there might have been, he could even tie, who knows if she didn't bring in a little blood to make it look like she was a betula. What's the big deal? So she scratched her finger. It doesn't prove anything. Say no chinami, that there are rishonim who hold that the dam wouldn't be a proof to anything. The Rabbi Nachmanu gives a reason over here that we're talking about a case of a mukat eitz, which is very interesting. In other words, we're talking about over here a bogeret or a mukat eitz. So she's already getting along in years, and long enough that there's no longer so much of a membrane that's going to be filled with blood, but nonetheless, there would still be a tainat petach patuach, because normally on a mukat eitz and a bogeret, even though there's no bleeding, it doesn't mean that there's no hymen at all, and that really there would be a tainat petach patuach without dam. Tosfos doesn't agree with this. Tosfos brings raya from Yerushalmi, if anything is the other way around, that there would be a petach patuach and a mukat eitz, but maybe there should be bleeding. Okay, ways, questions on how to learn the Yerushalmi exactly. We'll see as we go through the sugya where the role is of a taina of a mukat eitz comes in. Okay, but right now, according to Rashi, the problem is that there's no dam because either the family is there's no dam in general, or because there was no sabin to check whether there was dam. So, but let's forget about the question of the dam for a moment. The man claims that petach patuach matzah. So says Rabbi Elazar, he is an eman la'osra alap. He can answer her. Now, there's no way for us basically to know at this point. I mean, because obviously he is saying he did have intercourse with her. So obviously at this point, we're going to find the petach patuach. He's claiming that it was patuach b'tzeichem. We have no way of checking this out. And nonetheless, we're saying that he is believed to answer her on him. The reason for this is that a person has always believed if he thinks that something is answer on him, so that is even a din of an enter. So in other words, Shavya Nafshech Hatichat Yisura. He creates Isser on himself by claiming this to have happened. And forget about the question of whether he's Neman in terms of her ketubah and so on, that we'll get to later. But certainly in terms of answering her on him, he should be believed. Ask the Gemara Ba'amai, why exactly would he be believed? I mean, even if what he's saying is true, that doesn't mean that she's Asura on him, does he? Put that down underneath. It means only after all that it's a snake. I mean, what is he saying? He's saying Petach Patuach Matzati, and therefore what? Well, therefore, I don't know. Maybe she slept with somebody after we got our kiddushin in order. Yeah. Okay. Maybe, maybe not. Let's say maybe yes. I mean, then maybe she was raped. I mean, the fact that you find petach batuach doesn't mean that she's definitely asura. It doesn't even mean that there's a suffix that she's asura. The most of it means there's a sveik sveika that she's asura. So the fact that you tie to something, it can't make it more usur than if we know for a fact that it's true. So let's say we know for a fact that it's true that petach batuach matzatu. So what? Would we have said, therefore, she's asura on you? Of course not. Ask the Gemara, so then why is he saying it, make an asur on him? Asur on him. Sveik sveika. First of all, sveik tachtav sveik. In Takta, we have no idea when this took place. It might have taken place during the past 12 months from the time that they did the Kiddushin. It might have taken place 5 years ago. And let's say even that she had had relations with someone while she was already post-Kiddushin, so that he was married to her. Still, it's a Safik Be'onis, Safik Be'ratzon. We don't know what the situation was. It might have certainly been a rape. That's not something she's going to easily talk about. She wouldn't have said anything about it. So the fact that she doesn't say anything doesn't mean anything. So we still have a suffix. Says the Gemara, that's true. But the case over here, what Rebbe Elazar is talking about, is where we have only one suffix, and since this is an Issur D'oraita, we would be machmir. So Lo Tzricha, the case in question, is a case of an Eshet Kohen. So for the Kohen, it wouldn't matter whether she was raped or not. There's only one suffix. Suffix whether these relations took place after Kedusha, before Kedusha. If it's a suffix Dioraita, so then the suffix Dioraita Lechumra. And apparently we see from here that the Din of Shavya Anavshi Chaticha Disura is the equivalent of the actual case in the Dioraita. So if she would be Asura Dioraita, then Shavya Anavshi Chaticha Disura would also be to create on himself an Isra equivalent to that Isra Dioraita. You know what? We could also be talking about another case. We could be talking about a case where she's even an Eshet Yisrael, but there's no question at all whether it was tachtav or not tachtav. Because it might be talking about a case, let's say that the father accepted kedushin for her when she was 2 years old. So when she was 2 years old, now she gets married and she's already 12 years old. Right? So what are we worried about? There's only one suffix. Because had the relationships taken place before the kedushin, then there's no question at all that she would still have been in Betulah, because we know that Pechutami Bat Shalosh Shanim, V'yom Echad, the intercourse is not considered to have made any impact on her body. And even if he had torn her Betulim, they would have simply grown back, because she's still a Naru Uyalavia. And therefore, we know for a fact that the event took place after they had already been married. So we have only one suffix. Did it take place as a rape? Which basically means any time before she was a gedola, because even if she had been seduced, it would have had a din of a rape if she was a ketana. Or did it take place biratzon? But it definitely took place after they were married, that's for sure. So that could also be the case. So it's talking about an Eshet Yisrael, kegon de kabil ba'avua kedushin pchuta mibat shalosh shalem biyom echad. Anyway, so what's the big chiddush? I mean, my kamash, well, I didn't understand. I need Rebbe Elazar to tell me this halacha. Tanina, I mean, it's like such a famous case in Kiddushin. Omerli Yishak Kiddashtich. Man goes over to a woman, he said, I gave you Kiddushin. She said, I never saw you before my life. Yomer lo Kiddashtami. So, he muteret bekrovav. She is allowed to marry anybody that, she can marry his brother. I mean, whether the fact that he claims that he married her is meaningless. I don't accept what you say. Why should the court accept what you said? So, she's allowed to marry any of his krovit, but who asur bekrovoteha? So he, because of the fact that he claims that she's married to him, he can't go marry her sister, her mother, and so on and so forth. Because he assured himself by his words, Shoshavya Nafshakatikadisu, obviously he's talking about that he made a kosher kedushin, he's claiming. Not that I gave you kedushin without any witnesses. I mean, that's not a kedushin. The witnesses are part of the actual kedushin, not just proofs to the kedushin. So he's saying, I was Mekadeshu in front of so-and-so, and they went overseas, I have no way of bringing proof that you're my wife, but I tell you you're my wife. So that's his problem. It's not her problem. So anyway, what do I need Rebbe Elazar if I know this already from Tanoim? I don't need him to tell me this halacha. The chiddush is, you see, ma'od de tema, I might have thought that hatam in a case where a man says to a woman, I gave you kiddushin. So obviously he knows what he's talking about as far as he's concerned. So the vadai kimlei, he is 100% sure that this is the woman that he gave kiddushin to. Aval hacha, what are we saying over here? He claims petach patuach matzati. You're telling me that he is a 100% expert to know that, that definitely there was no betulim, and he can tell that what the difference between a betulah and a bula, he's got so much experience, I mean, maybe he just doesn't realize that the slight amount of pressure that he maybe forgot that he even experienced was sufficient to break her betulim, and she was a betula. And therefore, the fact that he claims petach batuach matzati is meaningless. And we should say the lokilah. I mean, if we have no other proof, it's not even enough to ask her on himself. Because he just thinks something. He can't be sure. But mashmalan, that this is considered to be that he is sure, and therefore this shavinav shechatir disur, not to be explained, that kamash v'lam, despite the fact that he may not know since he thinks he knows, that's not the pshat, as we'll see later on. So notice, the kamash v'lam means the kimle, that a person can know whether he's sleeping with a bu'ula or a betula, it's sufficient for him to have that information. Good. Umiyam Rabbi Elazar hachi, but wait, did Rabbi Elazar indeed say that he would be ne'eman to create an iser because she was mezana, perhaps, taktov? In other words, you're telling me that that's a given. If a woman slept with somebody else, despite the fact that we don't have any witnesses, she's definitely asur on her husband. Is that true? I mean, didn't Rabbi Elazar himself say, V'amar Rabbi Elazar, ein ha'isha ne'aseret ba'ala, ela aliske kinui ustira uchimase shahayam? A woman does not become asura on her husband unless she's a sota according to the rules. The rules are her husband had to give her a warning, don't be alone with such and such a person, which is called kinui. Then she had to have been alone with him, with witnesses to the fact that she was there with him. And then she becomes asura. The Torah creates an isra on a suffix that is sufficient to asur. But just because she slept with somebody, that doesn't mean necessarily that she's asura. And we learn this out from the famous Ma'aseh Shehoyah, which is David and Bathsheba. Excuse me, but what do you think he's talking about? Ma'aseh Shehoyah, Tisbra, Ma'aseh Shehoyah, Bekinu, Bistira. You think you know what Rabbi Elazar is talking about? You're telling me the Ma'aseh with David and Bathsheba was a Ma'aseh of Kinu, Bistira? That's ridiculous. Of course it wasn't a Ma'aseh of Bistira. Furthermore, what do you mean she becomes asura like the Ma'aseh Shehoyah? On the contrary, in the case of David and Bathsheba, she did not become Asura on Uriah. V'od mi Asura? Where do we see that she was Asura? On the contrary, had she been Asura on Uriah, then David would never have been allowed to marry her either, because if she's Asura on the Baal, then she's Asura on the Boel. How would David have afterwards taken her as a wife? So apparently she was not Asura, and he was trying to get Uriah to get her pregnant to the whole time, and obviously she wasn't Asura on Uriah. So clearly you don't understand what Rabbi Elazar is talking about. So let's try to first understand and then see whether you've got a problem with Rabbi Elazar. Well, that part doesn't bother me. I understand that the meaning of his reference to David and Bathsheba is as follows. Alokash, alokam. Ein ha'isha ne'aseret al ba'ala ela aliskei kinui v'stira. How do I know that, is what he's saying. I know that from the case of David and Bathsheba. Because since there wasn't kinui v'stira, that must explain why it was that she was mutaret. That's what he was. I mean, saying the exact opposite. So mima'aseh shehayah, I learned that out. But since the lo havi kinui v'stira and the lo itzara, so it's clear that a woman does not become asura unless there was kinui v'stira. Otherwise, why was it that she was allowed to continue to be David's wife? So anyway, now that I understand, are we okay? I understand, Rebbe Elazar? Okay, now you're happy? So I understand, Rebbe Elazar. Now can I ask a question? Now that I've explained to you what I understand, thank you. So, do I have a problem or not? Rabbi Elazar here is claiming that a guy who says, petach batuach matzati, boom, ipso facto, she's asura on him because there's a suffix, maybe she slept while she was married to somebody else, and therefore she's asura. And the same Rabbi Elazar says, the fact that a woman slept with somebody else after she was married does not make her asura. No? So why if a guy says, maybe she slept with somebody else, is she yes asura? That's not a problem. It's not a problem because you still don't understand Rebbe Elazar. You obviously don't understand Rebbe Elazar. Explain to me what you understand Rebbe Elazar to be saying. V'latayinach, are you honestly saying you think that Rebbe Elazar means to say that only if a woman went through kinui v'stira, she's asura, but if there were witnesses to the fact that she went and slept with somebody, that's no good, huh? Then there's no iser. It's like magic. Kinui v'stira asks her, but witnesses that she actually slept with another guy, that doesn't iser, huh? But Adim lo? That's absurd. It says, ki matzabai or badavar. It says, ilo nitvasa. I mean, it's clear in the Torah that if you have witnesses to the fact that she slept with another guy, shaloba onis, she's a surah. What are you coming to tell me? You obviously do not understand what Rabbi Elazar is saying. So what do you think Rabbi Elazar means? Let me explain it to you a little bit, my dear, and then you'll see that you don't have a kasha for Rabbi Elazar. Clearly what Rabbi Elazar was saying is like this, is that Ein ha'isha ne'aseret al ba'ala, in a case where you don't have absolute proof of the fact, let's say you only have an eid echad, so there the Torah doesn't kick in the din of hilul nitvas and so on. That's all in Dovr Sheb'erev pachot mishnayim. Unless there was kinoi v'stira. Over there we have a special halacha that the Torah believed there was eid echad, which we learn out from ve'eid ein ba. So we learn out from over there that if we have a single witness after kinoi v'stira, since we have raglayim l'davar, something fishy is going on. So because of that, we trust in eid echad. The Torah gave us a gzerat hakatur. She becomes asura just like that. That's all he meant to say. Now, does that have any relevance to the case in question, sir? Because, I mean, I'll explain to you why it doesn't. All he's saying is, that's all that he's saying. So that he's not coming to say, in a case of piatzmo, obviously he didn't say that either. He's not coming to say, there are no cases where a woman will be asura other than a case of kinu vistira. Nonsense. Plenty of cases where a woman may be asura. One of them being where the guy himself knows that she's asura. Why can't that be a case? Just like the case of two Adim. He's not including all the cases. Maybe innumerable other cases. He's just saying, if all you have is an eid echad, then that's not enough. But if the guy himself knows, because kimle, or you have two Adim, that's what he's saying, that's believed. The kinu, the stira, afilu beid echad nami. All he's trying to say, thank you, is that when it comes to kinoi v'stira, you can trust even one eid. But this particular case, petach patuach, is kishnei eidim dami. That's the fact that I know. Wait a minute. So now, we're getting back to the Maaseh Shehaya. So why was David allowed to actually remain married to Bathsheba? So how do you explain that? Ah, well, because v'chi teima Maaseh Shehaya mipnei malo asura, hatam ones havi. Why wasn't she asura on Uriah? Because the very fact that she was now demanded by the king, she was scared. She couldn't refuse. So that was considered to be a rape, basically. So therefore she wasn't asura on him. Since she wasn't asura on him, so then she doesn't become asura on the boel either. That, by the way, is not so partial. But that seems to be the way Rashi's learning this again. In other words, what would be a case, what would be where somebody knows that he slept with a woman? Over here, David knows for a fact. I don't think anybody's sitting here at the moment. I mean, usually they do, but they're not even. So then, if David knows that he had relations with her, so he should know that she's a Surani. Is there a mashma'ut here? The sugya is that, this certainly seems to be the way Rashi is learning, is that if she wouldn't become a Sura to her husband, so if she's not a Sura Lebal, she's not a Sura Leboel. Many, many posts can hold not like that, including the Rosh. It's very nogia b'zman hazeh. You'll find cases where we don't have any proof that a woman was mezana. Nonetheless, if the person knows that he had slept with her while she was an agency, so he should be asura on her anyway, because he knows. Okay, this already is a question how to understand the Rashi. Fine, but anyway, that's only one approach. There's another approach. The other approach is ibaitema. Perhaps the real solution is that Ein Harchinami, had she been married to Uriah Achiti at the time, she certainly would have become Asura. She was not married to Uriah Achiti at the time. Ki hodi amar Rabbi Shmuel ben Achmini amar Rabbi Yonatan, kol hayotzei lemelchemet Beit David, yet kritut kotev leishto. Anyone, any soldier who went out to war under David's malchut would always write a get in advance of his being threatened by possible disappearance in the course of warfare, to enable his wife to be free of possible igun, he would write a get. Dichtiv, because what makes us think this? Because we know that when David was a youngster, before he became king, so his father sent him up, this was the mice where he ended up finally attacking Goliath, the whole thing, but originally his father had sent him up, Yishai had sent him up with some food and care packages for his brothers that were in the army. And he says this very strange thing, which is, Ve'et arubatam tikach. take their aruba. Now, what exactly was he referring to? The pasuk is very unclear. So the poshut meaning that, I mean, they say arubatam, the Targum Yonatan is their tova. Meaning, bring me back regard. So we have the idea of arov avdecha latov, which we're going to be saying on Rosh Hashanah. Arov avdecha latov. So arov may be a sense of what we care about, things that we worry about. So aruvatam tikach is, I want a full report. It's one way of understanding it, that's how the Targum understands it. The Gemara understands it to mean aruvatam, that which created the relationship in which two people become mixed as one, which is aruvatam, meaning their marriage, tikach, take back their marriage. And would see to it that they give you a copy of a get, which is going to be held in escrow, which, according to Rashi, would be a get al tnai. The get al tnai would be, even though Rashi doesn't explain it properly, sestosus, because, I mean, it's not going to be a good get. It's as if I die, then there's all kinds of problems. Anyway, Tosfos said, all right, maybe the pshat in Rashi is if I don't come back. So if I don't come back, then it doesn't mean to imply the get should be chal before me. So there should always be a suffocation issue. But if I don't return with the rest of the boys, so whatever has happened to me, the get should be chal from now. Tosfos learns that the get was an absolute get, not a get al tnai. This became a very serious matter, by the way, until very recently. As it used to be in Europe, Jews were very often, their whole lives were soldiers, and in many of the major wars in Europe, Jews would be fighting on either side and would disappear, you know, in mass graves, no matter what happened to them. There was a whole question about what to do under those circumstances, the right to get al tnai, the right to get vadai. So the poskim ended up basically being machmer never to write a get out tonight, which we'll see later on in Gittin. There's too many possible mistakes that can be made, dinim about how to write it tonight. Tonight v'nei god and v'nei ruvein, what's considered to be a tonight, what is it chafram? Very complicated, better give a get. But what does a kohen do? A kohen can't give a get. He gives a get, won't be able to take his wife back. So a kohen had to write a get out tonight. So there, there came a lot of questions, how to exactly phrase the get out tonight. Famous case where a guy said, if I don't come home by such and such a date, you know, and he ends up writing a letter that he can't come home. He hid in it because of the censorship. He couldn't say why he couldn't come home. It turned out he couldn't come home because he had absconded from the army. If they had found out, they would have killed him. They killed the family. Got him and says, I can't come home. However, I'm in such and such a place. You can come to me. That's the whole Shaila. Is that called coming home? And he says, oh, that's how they passed him. They pask that home is where the heart is. In other words, home means to my wife. So that if his wife could go there, so then it was considered. But in any event, this was a fascinating reality that was very much part of Jewish lives with a lot of almost contemporary Shabbos and Shuvahs on these issues.
Can't thought of this as a king, this pronouncer unmarried?
No. King has no halachic value other than if somebody's murdered the Malchus. He can get rid of Uriah, but that's about all that he could do. So, in any event, she wasn't married to Uriah at the time, because Uriah had deposited his get, just like David had learned from Yishai, his father, and undoubtedly instituted in the army.
It's not like Rashi was.
What's not like Rashi? No, even if it is like Rashi. Uriah, believe it or not, ended up not coming home.
Right.
Of course, David had something to do with that. But the bottom line is, he didn't come home. I don't know if that's meant, but he did come home. No, he came home before. This is the tonight is if I don't come home from the war, not if I don't come home during the interim. Right. So he didn't come home. So the get was chal from before. So that's the. But what is the diak over here? Taruvatam tikach mai v'taruvatam tikach. Tony Rav Yosef devarim ha'mu'uravim beinu levina. The kiddushin, which creates the relationship between the man and the woman, is tikach. Take that away. How do you take it away? You take it away with a get. Omer Abaye, Afanan Amitanina. Look, it's very interesting that Rabbi Elazar should tell us, but I mean, the fact is, anybody who reads the Mishnah with any type of insight immediately comes to the conclusion that the guy is believed to say Betach Patuach Matzati. Because look, it says in the Mishnah, Betulani Seit L'Yomar Avi'i. Okay, now why L'Yomar Avi'i and L'Yomar Kamishi Lo? So I mean, the reason that we said it's got to be the day prior to the opening of the Beit Din was because we're Chayish L'Kurei Daite, correct? So my timer, Mishum Ikrurei Daite, we're afraid that by the time Monday rolls around, if he gets married already on Thursday after the court closes, so by the time Monday rolls around, he's not going to worry about the fact that he found the Petach Patua. Okay? What do you care? So let him cool down. Great. So to live happily ever after. So he said, well, I mean, if he cools down, I mean, if he ends up divorced, he's going to pay her ketuvah out of you. So let him. If he wants to, it's up to him. I said, we have to worry about him and try to save him money. I mean, what kind of crazy halacha is this? We should make a takana that he shouldn't cool down. On the contrary, let him cool down. Hell am I. So I ask you, says Abaya, a query died to Lamai, vis-a-vis what halacha? Now what? Lamait of l'ketuvah? Because now I'll have to pay her full ketuvah if he cools down and he ends up divorcing her. So Natavla, I mean, that's his business, not our business. He wants to give her a ketuvah, by all means, sir. You cool down, pay her a ketuvah. Obviously, what we're concerned about is not the ketubah. We're concerned about the fact that he may end up continuing living with this woman his whole life, and she's a surah. Now, what was the case? If the case was the katoin tanamai, I mean, is the case not that he was toin tanat petach batuach? I mean, the question over here is whether or not he says that I found her not to be a ketulah. I mean, that's the pashtus of the case, isn't it? That he said that petach batuach because. Tosa says, well, why would we assume that that's the taina? Why not assume that the taina is that he didn't find dami? Because, says Tosa, look, the guy himself also may rationalize the fact that he found petach patuach because he's not such an expert to know the difference between a betula and a bula. What do I know? I mean, you know, they tell me I'm supposed to feel something. Well, I didn't. Maybe I'm just not sensitive. And so on. So it'll be a great idea. But as far as the question of an objective sign that there were no betula and that there was no dam, that we're not kaish v'kurei daite. That was the Havam he explains to us. So that maybe over here, the only thing that we're worried about is the kurei daite of petach patuach. Mashvur, we don't want a kurei daite on petach patuach, because, in fact, if he would have come in and said petach patuach matzati, we would not have been shameful on the fact that maybe lo kimle to say that she's muteret on it. There you go. That's exactly what Rav Elazar said. So you see, you can actually read it out of the Mishnah itself. Huh? Says, well, not necessarily. I mean, look, maybe now that Rebbe Elazar says it, you could say it, but I mean, how do you know that the Mishnah is not talking about a case where he's toin ta'anat damim? And even on a ta'anat damim, we would also be chayish l'kurei daite. Not l'kurei daite because he needs to rationalize his own making the mistake, maybe, but to rationalize the fact, you know, big deal, ketula is only for a minute, and marriage is for a lifetime, and who cares? So I'll accept her as my dear wife, Petula or not Petula. But I mean, oh, here there's a real Shiloh, he's a Kohen, or you know, the case where it was put to me by Shalosh, there'd be a real Isser. That's what we're chayish for. Amar Rav Yehuda Mishmuel, what we've been talking about so far, gentlemen, is only a question of Shavi and Hashachetu for the Yisura. I mean, it's no big deal. I mean, to create a situation where you want to be mafsid yourself, and you decide, well, I know she's a Surah on me. Okay, you know, that's your business. But how about the relationship of the Taina Petach Patuach Matzati to be able to claim that he doesn't owe her ketubah? How about that? You didn't say anything about your having had relations with anybody. So we'll see later on. It's a question to be master of the ketubah of the betula, or to be master of the chalal of the ketubah, and that he wants to annul the marriage. Well, we'll see what the question is. But in any event, what would be the din vis-a-vis the ketubah? Omer Rav Yehuda Mishmuel, surprisingly, Omer petach batuach matzati ne'eman lafsidak tuvatam. Amazingly, he's also believed to say that I don't owe her a ketuvah. As far as I say, you say. Obviously, you know, it's easy for you to say that you don't have to pay. I mean, so now you decided, you know, the heck with it. I don't really like her. So suddenly she's got petach batuach. She's a surah on me. I don't have to pay her a ketuvah. Why should we believe you? So this we're going to see. The Gemara is going to discuss why in the world we would believe it. But in any event, you see from here that Shmuel is believed. Says Rabbi Yosef, I need Shmuel to tell me he's believed. My kamashman is the Farish. Tanina, and so Mishnah says, somebody now is eating at his father-in-law's house, okay? And there's nobody there to protect the relationship. Since the minig was in Yehuda, that the chassan and kala were bedafka brought into close contact. I mean, the moment he's alone with the kala, we assume that he slept with her. I mean, what are we going to say? The guy's really such a big tzaddik, he can sleep with her. I mean, he must have slept with her also. So he can't come along and taina that, I found the petach batuach. Damn right you did. We're going to listen to you to be a mafsid or something, right? So there he can't taina. But the mashmaut, but by the way, we mentioned earlier that there's a number of different pshatim in here. I mean, according to Rashi, what we expect in Yehuda. We didn't really expect them to sleep together. We weren't exactly being matir premarital sex. It wasn't premarital, but pre-chuppah, because that far we wouldn't go. But we figured they'd have a good time together. Why do we want them to have a good time together? Some learn because of the hegemon. In other words, in order to make sure that she wouldn't be nivelet baratzon, we wanted to turn her on to this guy. So once you get turned on to him, she wouldn't be interested in the Roman. That would make maybe take her for a prima nocis. That's one thing. Others learn that, no, on the contrary. We wanted them to actually sleep together, because that way she wouldn't be a tulah, and therefore she wouldn't be in danger of being taken by the Romans, because they would only take a betulah. When she's ruined for him. Rashi himself brings elsewhere, has nothing to do with that. It just has to do with the fact that in Yehuda, they wanted the night of marriage to not be the first time that a boy and girl basically meet physically. So they wanted them to enjoy each other's company, not go so far as to actually penetrate her, but to, you know, make out, kiss, and so on. And therefore, says Rashi, the chashash over here is that in the course of making out with her, he might not even have realized that there was sufficient penetration to break her psulim. And he didn't even realize that. He just thought, you know, he was pretty close to her, but he didn't realize it actually penetrated and hasered her. So, okay, so therefore we say in Yehuda he's not Nema. But, I mean, the Mashmaut clearly is that it's Be'Yehuda who Dilo Matzitan. It's only in Yehuda that he can't say anything. But, I mean, in places where they didn't have this minute, so let's say in the Galil. In the Galil Matzitan, isn't that what it's saying? So that if there was no grounds to say that it's his own fault, so then even though he says, right, I mean, he's saying whatever he's saying, we'll see, but would be sufficient for him to be Tayyip. Now, let me ask you, okay? Lamai, what is it that he's saying? In terms of what? Is he saying, look, I believe that she had relations with somebody else, and therefore she's Asura to me. So what are we going to tell him? Well, look, buddy, it's your own fault. You slept with her. I mean, obviously, he's not insane. He's saying, I did not. Look, don't tell me what I did. I know for a fact I did not sleep with her. She was supposed to be a betula, and she wasn't, and therefore I believe that somebody slept with her. I mean, so if it's that, Lo Shrala, why wouldn't Bishiba believe? So be Yehuda Amaylo? Even in Yehuda, it should be believed. Ela Lav, he's telling me, I believe she's Asura. If you believe she's Asura, so then she is Asura on you. What can we do? So therefore, we must learn that over here it's talking about Ela Lav, Lav Sidaka Tuvata. So we're saying over here that he's not believed in Yehuda to be Mafsid her from her Ktuba, because we're saying, look, maybe he didn't even realize that he was the one that had caused the Petach Patua. Okay? But he doesn't think that's what happened. Okay, fine, he doesn't think that's what happened. But certainly we're not going to accept it in terms of to be Motzi Molan. I mean, that he doesn't have to pay her Ktuba. We're not going to say, he thinks, who cares what he thinks? But when it would come to the Galil, in the same case where they hadn't been Yichud together, so then the halacha was that he would have been believed. Okay? So now, what was exactly the case? The Katoin Tainas Mai. What was he saying? Is he saying Domim or is he saying Betulim? My love, the Katoin Petach Batuach. I mean, I assume that the case is that he was Taining Petach Batuach Matzati, and in Yehuda, even though there is now we have now the fact that they were alone, he's believed to Aser, but not believed over here, because once he's Misyachid with her, then we assume that Lamaisa, they had relationships with each other. Says the Gemara, no, again, how do you bring a riot from here? Maybe Ein Hachinami, in something that has no objective ability to prove. Petach Patuach Matzati. Maybe he's not Nema. Even anywhere, even in the Galil, he's not Nema. What we're trying to be Madaic over here, that he is believed in the Galil, maybe that's only where we had an actual case in which we had the Minhag of the Shushbinin. He had his guy looking out for Hanky Panky. She had her guy that was looking out for Hanky Panky on his part. And that way we know we have an absolute indication of whether there was bleeding or not. We know there was no blood brought from anywhere else. We know that nothing happened to the Sadin. Okay, maybe that's the case, so that he's tithing objectively. The Kartoyim Ta'anat Damin. So therefore we need Shmuel to tell me that even the Taina of Petach Patuach, without any indication that objectively that she was not a Betula, is sufficient, unless, of course, there are grounds to say it was his own fault, but in the Galil would be sufficient to tain him. What's the logic for this? Itmar Amram Nachman Amar Shmuel Mishum Rabbi Shimon Ben Elazar. I'll tell you what the logic is. Chachomim tiknu lehem livnot Yisrael l'ptulam adayim ala aman aman. Okay? The Chachomim created the situation over here in which we write out this ketubah. We'll get to that in a moment because that's not so simple. I mean, what we write in the ketubah is the Chazi Lachimi in the Oraita, but it's not a Takkan and Rabbana. As Tosfos is bothered by over here, because we learned out from Kimoar Habitulot. So why are we saying this is only a Takkan and Rabbana? But let's assume for a moment. The ketubah is a Takkan and Rabbana. All right. The Heim Heiminuhu, so the same way that they created the ketubah, they also created the chiyuv of the ketubah on the basis of believing him. She'im amar petach patuach matzati, that if he would claim that she was not a ketulah, that he wouldn't have to pay. That he's ne'amah. So I understand, so what's the point? So then don't make it in the first place. But I thought the whole issue of the ketubah was to protect her. So we want to make it difficult for him to get rid of her. He can't casually decide I don't like her. So now he'll go ahead and divorce her and it won't cost him anything. It's got to cost. So then you're telling him, but we'll believe him. So it isn't going to cost. So then don't make the takana. So ma'o yilu kachamim b'takanatam. What was the purpose of the whole idea then, if that's the case? Well, my Rava, no. The purpose still stands. Because the reason that they believed them were under these specific circumstances where the guy decides the next morning that he wants out. He decides the next morning he wants out. He could have said he wants out before. I mean, to go through the whole business of getting a marriage together, it's costing him a ton, paying the caterer, getting all that. I mean, it's an absurd situation. If you're sure that you want out, so then get out before you go ahead and you put out that kind of investment. So we have a chazakah. Ein adam toreach b'seuda u'mafsida. Person's not going to go through all of this and without sufficient sudden cause, in which indeed he did discover something that distressed him. So now he's believed to say petach patuach matzati. Of course, as Rav Meisha Zatzal pointed out. Oh, fine, as Rav Meisha. Now, how do you explain the fact that for hundreds of years already in Europe, the idea of the chasna was moved on to the kalas tzad, right? In which case, the whole thing no longer holds. I mean, how could we just understand? Why is it that none of the poskim said that, well, of course, nowadays, if he says petach patuach, he's not believed because there's no more chazaka in adam terech v'sudam afsidam. Tainet Rav Meisha, halacha l'maaseh is a pella. Tainet Rav Meisha, from here you see that if the kalas family pays for a wedding, clearly that is meant to be part of the nedunya that she was machnisa to the marriage, and he owes her the wedding. So that if, in fact, he would divorce her, he's going to have to pay for the wedding. Wow. Because otherwise, we should have been masking, and he would actually pass in this way. So now, if he causes problems, they say, what do you mean? We put out $100,000 for New York weddings. What? That was part of what he agreed to pay in Exodus.
So if he gets divorced,
so Mamela, it would be...
Oh, okay.
Right? Yeah. So that vada he has to pay back. So we still have that. That's that he owes her straight out. That's like the chosin that she was machnisa. The chosin that she's machnisa has to pay her back.
But the De Beers family, Paskin and help set it up and buys her a big expensive rock and that. Yeah.
Okay, the rocker has to do that.
How did they get divorced?
If what? There's two elements to them. I mean, there's 100 elements of it, but there's two essential elements, which is the money that she's brought in. Then there's the money that he owes her because of the divorce. But any money that she's brought in goes back to her. Yeah, I mean, what about all the money?
That's the winning.
That's what Ramesh is saying. It must be that that's considered to be money that she brings into the marriage that he's going to have to refund.
Does he get credit? Why wouldn't we say that the
college pays and this
whole thing is
wrong? Ramesh says, is it possible that for centuries nobody ever brought up the fact that there's no din anymore of believing a Baal? It's impossible. It must be it's taken for granted that even though the college family is Torahat, but it's certainly a burden on the chosen. Because that was part of the takana, the whole idea that we're going to create a marriage in such a way that we can assure that a person will come to best, that it will be b'neman, it's all included these complex mechanisms. It's a holistic situation, as we've spoken about before. Because of the fact that we have a marriage, because of the fact that chazaka inan terech b'suda, because of the fact that we have sotfik legabi iser, so on. We created a very complex social circumstance whereby we can make sure that even though we have a long time over here between an erison and kedushin, that nonetheless we're not going to have to worry about the fact that people may live together b'iser their whole lives, right? So that became part of the nature of marriage.
But he
Okay, you can argue on Rabbi Shimon. It's not a Gemara. I'm just telling you, this is his
time. That for hundreds of years, we didn't have the separation between Nadav and Kedusha, so also it wasn't the name.
That's not so partial, though. That's that we don't make the Takuna, we wouldn't have made the Takuna of Chatzchilo, but nothing changes.
When did they start having the Kedusha and Kedusha at the same time?
Tosis brings it already. Yeah, Tosis, remember, we talked about it earlier. It's nowadays where usually there's no time anyway. So it would have to be an awfully frisky kala that's going to manage to go ahead and
leave
it. Right.
Is this a, it didn't happen everybody? What if someone is very, very rich?
It doesn't matter. It's still to make something just to ruin it is certainly not the way things are done. I mean, it's scandalous. The whole thing is scandalous. You know, who wants to get involved in such a thing? You really made up your mind that you don't like her, so just bite the bullet and cancel the wedding. That kind of thing happens all the time. Mm-hmm.
How did the Rebbe explain, she does Rashi, about what happened in Yehuda?
That he's Neman Legabe himself, because he says, I'm sure. Okay, you can be sure. But he's not believed Legabe the Ksuva, because what is your question?
Yes,
the physical contact they can have, but they weren't supposed to actually sleep together.
That's Shita's Rashi?
Yeah.
Where's Rashi to say that?
He says this in a number of places. He doesn't say it here. He mentions it. Gittin, I mean, where it's brought about here, he just takes for granted. Doesn't explain it in detail. Okay. So we have over here Lichora, a raya that Ketuva is only Drabon, because otherwise what's the name Tiknu? This is something we're going to have to look into tomorrow. We talk about what we're going to go into, whether we look at the Knas Drabon, the Chiyav Drabon, and so on. How exactly the Ketubah works.